Amen. Appreciate that, young people. Amen. Well, I'm going to change my message this morning to tonight's message. So let's take our Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. I enjoy so much listening to these young people sing. I shouldn't just say young people, all of our people that minister to us in music. And I would rather, much rather listen to our own people here than some professional slick thing that I don't even know the people. I usually have one of our CDs from the church here in the van and listen to it as I drive around. So appreciate all of your labors there. Psalm chapter 12, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house this morning. And I pray now the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts from thy precious word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt what? Keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? Preserve them from this generation forever. So, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. When you apply silver to the back of a piece of glass, you have a mirror. And God's word is pure as the purest silver. And when we look into God's word, it's a mirror. We see. I remember years ago reading about a missionary that gave a little girl on the field the Bible, and she brought it back the next day. And he says, "What's the matter?" And she says, "I don't like this book. It kicks." And she is referring to it shows her what's wrong. It was a mirror to her, and she didn't like that. And there are people that don't believe that we have God's pure word. Many people don't believe we have God's pure word. One man wrote in to me on one occasion. He says, "How can you make your focus denying all other versions of God's word from all over the world?" And he had read the HIV/NIV tract, and he did not like that. And I wrote back to him and said, "We do not focus on denying all the so-called Bibles of this world, the translations of this world." I said, "We focus on the pure word of God." Notice with me in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. The more that each of us read from God's pure word, and we have the King James Bible, you know, all of our forefathers had access to the King James Bible. It's just been in recent times, all of these other Bible translations have flooded the market. And I was just checking this week, the number one seller right now is the NIV. And we're going to look at some things about the NIV this morning. The King James Bible is second, but of course, these are all figures from the Christian Sellers Association, Booksellers Association. And it clearly states that that does not take into account all of the church ministries that print Bibles. And there's a lot of them. And for the most part, those do King James Bibles. But in Acts 17, verse 11, these were more what? Noble. More noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all what? Readiness of mind, not criticalness of mind. You know, they call the Greek text upon which all these new Bible translations are based, they call it the critical text. They came with readiness of mind and searched the scriptures, how often? Daily, whether those things were so. We're not like the Jehovah's Witnesses who say, "Now just just, you know, read what we write and so on. Don't read anyone else's things. You know what? If we have the true faith, we can show clearly how these other things are in error. If we know the truth, well, we'll be able to refute these errors. So we don't focus on these other translations. We don't, you know, at times I hear like excerpts from, and read excerpts from messages, and sometimes preachers will quote from many different translations. We don't do that here unless we are showing the error in those translations. We're not trying to choose from a multitude of authorities. There's one authority, God's Word, God's pure Word. So the more we focus on the pure Word, the more we're going to notice error when we see it. It's going to pop out at us. Some years ago, we visited a dermatologist for the first time. I think it was one of our babies, and our pediatrician said, well, I think this is what it is, but I want to send you to a dermatologist just to make sure, and that's what it was. But it got a relationship and going with this dermatologist. And so over the years now, when we have a skin problem, we normally don't go to the family doctor with that. We just go straight to the specialist. And he's good. He looks at it and takes just a few moments to examine it and then says, this is what it is. And the reason he can do that is because every day, family doctors know a lot about skin, but this man, every day, that is his focus, the skin, whether it's healthy or not healthy. And he knows it so well, whether, you know, for us, we may think, well, that's poison ivy. Well, it might be something else. We may see a spot and wonder, well, I wonder if that's cancer. He looks at it and he says, it is or it isn't. He states the name of it, what it is, and he says, you don't have to worry about this, or he says, you do have to worry about this, and you need to get it off. So he's focused on the skin, and he knows what he's doing. And the more we focus on God's Word, the more we read it, the more we will spot error. I found out when I was in school that, it's sad to say, in Bible schools, young men are taught more about what people say about the Bible than are taught the Bible. You may say you're kidding. No, I'm not. In Bible schools, they're taught more about what man says about the Bible than what the Bible says itself. And that's sad. We need to know what the Bible says. Notice with me in Psalm 119. You know, there is just no fast way to become spiritually mature. It just takes time. Each of us need to be in God's Word. I'm all in favor of family devotions, but even that doesn't take the place of personal time with God. Each of us reading God's Word. Psalm 119:97. God uses David to say, oh, how love I what? Thy law. It is my what? My meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me what? Wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more what? Understanding than all my what? Teachers. So all the young people in here say, amen, well, I knew that. I know I have more understanding than all my teachers. No amens. Boy, the smart kids, they know better than to say that, huh? They'll have extra schoolwork tomorrow if they say that. But David, God uses him to say, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy what? Testimonies are my meditation. You know what? It might be easy to teach a subject and not really be meditating on it, just teaching the subject and not really applying it. As we read on here, verse 100, I understand more than who? The ancients, because I what? Keep thy precepts. You know what? Part of understanding the Bible is obeying what we read. The more light that we receive, the more that we're responsible, and the more light we obey, the more light we will receive. He said, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. God is so ordained that out of the mouth of babes should come forth wisdom. And the more we realize we are babes, the more we realize I haven't arrived, the more we realize, Lord, teach me today. When I read my Bible, Lord, please teach me. I need understanding. I need to learn. If we come with that heart attitude, God will bless. Notice with me also here in the same chapter, verse 103. How sweet are thy what? Words unto my taste. How many of you like chocolate? Okay. How many times have you just longed for a bite of chocolate? How many times have we longed for a bite of God's words? He said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. I remember when Mrs. Miller had her pancreas trouble and hadn't been able to eat for some time and then was finally able to eat. And I remember she said, everything tastes so sweet. The Bible says, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And David longed for the word of God. And he said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How many of you like honey? He had that same thought about God's word. Sweeter. The word of God is sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I what? Hate every false way. You see, the more sweet that God's word is to us, the more we desire God's word, the more we realize how pure it is and how we just desire it. You know, some years ago, I began having some trouble with sugar, and so I just had to lay off pop. Down south, it's soda pop, not pop. When I first moved to Chattanooga, I talked about pop. Pop? Pop? You mean soda? I don't know if they call their dads pop down there or not. I don't know. I don't know who calls their dad pop, but soda. But when I had to lay off from soda pop, and I used to think water was bland, boring, but I just enjoy a good cold drink of water. Now that's what I'm used to. But when we long for the word of God, then what happens, verse 104, then we'll hate every false way. When we become accustomed to the pure word of God, then any deviation from it is going to upset us. It's going to be noticeable to us. You walk into your home, when you get home, if someone has been in there and things are out of place, you'll know it. You know where you left everything. Well, maybe you know where you left everything. Maybe not. But you notice when something is out of place. Let's look at verse 125. 125, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above what? Gold. Oh, every once in a while, I hear on the radio, click on the radio, and when I'm not listening to a CD of music from here, catch the news, and sometimes they're advertising gold. Invest in gold. Invest in gold. Well, David, God had him right. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be what? Right. And I what? Hate every false way. You see, the more we love truth, the more we're going to hate error. The more we love the truth of God's word, the faster we're going to notice when someone has tampered with it. And so we need to immerse ourselves in God's word. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. How? From the word of God. So notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible was given pure. It's given pure. But you know what? That doctrine is rather worthless if it isn't preserved. Now, how many of you ladies and young people that help your moms, how many of you would slave over a large garden and then harvesting that garden and then canning or freezing if it wasn't preserved? When you can something, you hear all those tops popping, sealing. And then that isn't enough. I don't know of anyone that, whoop, okay, keep track of all those pops. Yep, every jar popped. Everyone is sealed. No, usually you try to push on that center. If it doesn't move, it's sealed. You know, you check it. Why? Because you don't want to put all that work and then go downstairs and see the pears or the peaches or the tomatoes or the beans or corn, whatever it is you can. You don't want to go down there and see green stuff growing on them after a while. If you're going to go to all that work, you're going to preserve it. Well, listen, God went to a lot of work to give this book to man, said to be like over 1,600 years of time from Genesis to Revelation, giving his pure word to man. But if God wasn't going to preserve it, then it was a waste of time giving it. If we, you know, the average professing Christian today, because of what he or she's been taught, will say, well, yes, God gave his word, and it exists somewhere out there. How much money do you have? Where is it? Does it exist somewhere out there? Do you know where it is? Yes. You know the bank or wherever it is you have it. You know. It is, you don't just say, well, it exists somewhere out there. My dad told me when he was younger, there was some people in his neighborhood that when it come time to pay for something, they always paid cash. But sometimes the bills were wet. And so these people buried their money. I wouldn't advise that, but they would, especially paper money. But anyway, they would bury it, and sure hope they remember all the places they buried it. But they would be drying out their money when they would have something to buy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the what? Holy scriptures. They're holy. They're not corrupted scriptures. They're holy, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. Inspiration means God breathed. Well, when God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. When God breathed out his word, it became a living word. Hebrews 4:12. It's the living word of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How can we be perfect if we don't have it all? What would happen if you go to put together something and one whole page of the instruction manual is missing? What do you do? Well, you skipped several steps, and it's not going to go together right. How could we be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, if we don't have it all, if some of it is missing? So the doctrine of preservation is the doctrine of inspiration. God giving his word is worthless without the doctrine of preservation. Notice with me in Colossians 1. This is just one of many places where the NIV leaves out portions or all of verses. This one is a portion. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through what? Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22 says, without shedding of blood is no remission. There's no forgiveness without the shedding of Jesus' blood, because the wages of sin is death. In Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So Jesus gave his life, his blood, for us. The secret to life, keeping life going, is in that blood. So the NIV leaves out the phrase "through his blood." In verse 14, "in whom we have redemption," that's all it says. In whom we have redemption. It does not have in there "through his blood." That should be an immediate red flag. The NIV translator said, "We translated the Bible so you could understand it better." Well, who does not understand the word blood? The tiniest child that can talk will soon understand what blood is. Probably because he will experience seeing his own blood or someone else's. Who doesn't understand the preposition through his blood? Who doesn't understand the pronoun his? Or as little kids, they know another word better than his. It's mine, mine, not his, mine. So who doesn't understand those three words? Through his blood. There's an ulterior motive in what they did. But what amazes me is professing Christians who say, well, they only took it out in that spot. They left the blood in other verses. So, you know, why are you so upset that they took the blood out in Colossians 1:14? It's in the NIV in other places. Okay. How many fingers do you have? Anyone have any fingers? How many fingers do you have? 10. Okay. 10 fingers. Okay. Would you mind if I cut one off? Is anyone here okay with that? Why would you matter? Why would you care? You just said you have 10. Well, maybe you have 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. I don't know. Maybe they're all fingers. What would it matter if I just take one off? You have 9 more. You see what I mean? They say, what does it matter that the NIV took out the blood in Colossians 1:14? It's in there, as it were, 9 other times. I haven't counted how many times they left it in, but just say, they only took it out in one verse here, and I don't recall, they may have taken it out in other verses, but for the sake of argument, let's just say, they only took it out in this verse. They left it in 9 more times. Why are you so upset? Okay, you've got 10 fingers, let me take one off. What's the problem? You know, one of the first things I looked at when our children were born? Those tiny little fingers. And I won't bring them out so you can see them, but those tiny little toes. It always amazed me how God forms those tiny little things. 10 little fingers, 10 little toes. They're all precious. You know why they don't care that the NIV translators took out the blood here? Because the Word of God isn't precious enough to them. Because if it was, they would fight just as much for the blood in Colossians 1:14 as every one of their fingers. If I ask for one of your children to come and to take off one of their fingers, you'd say, no! You'd probably say, I'd rather you take off my fingers than theirs. Why is it that people are not willing to defend the Word of God from any removal of anything? Your fingers are precious. You know, some people may say, well, you've got 10 of them. Well, what does it matter if you lose one? Well, if you lose just one, you'll notice it. You'll notice it in your grip. If you lose just one of your toes, you'll notice it in your balance. They're all important, or God wouldn't have given them to us. So we need to... I just can't understand why people say, well, the NIV translators were good men. Would you consider me a good man if I cut off one of your fingers? No. I'm just afraid the Word of God is not precious enough to many people in this world. Notice in Revelation 22. Revelation 22. The fact of the matter is that there is none good but one, that is God. So we're all in that boat. There's none of us that are good. But why would anyone defend the translators of the NIV as good men? So quit picking on them. Well, what does God say? Revelation 22, 19. And if any man shall what? Take away. We're in Revelation 22, 19. And if any man shall take away from what? The words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of what? The book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Well, what does that mean? Well, go back to chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 15. Chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written where? In the book of life, was cast into where? The lake of fire. So whoever is not written in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Go back to Revelation 19. Revelation 22, 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the what? The book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. If anyone dares to take away from God's word, they are going to hell. That's what the Bible says in chapter 20, verse 15. They're going to the lake of fire. If anyone would dare to take away from God's word, God says those people are not saved. That's what God says. Sometimes people say, well, aren't you judging those translators? The Bible is clear. If any person would dare to take away from God's word, that person is not saved. How can anyone say, well, I know they were good men? Well, then I guess you know more than God. But one day when you stand before him, you're going to find out God knows exactly the truth. And that is the truth. Some have said to me, when I point out verse 19, they say, well, that's just referring to the book of Revelation. Well, I believe God closed with these words to cover all of his word. But just for the sake of argument, the NIV translators are still in big trouble. Notice with me in Revelation chapter 5, because they took out words from the book of Revelation as well. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 14. Revelation 5, 14. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. So that's Revelation 5, 14. Now this is how the NIV reads. It says, and the four beasts said, Amen. I'm reading my King James. This is what the NIV says. It says, the four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped. That's it. The NIV reads, the four living creatures said Amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. What did they leave out? Well, they left out the number 24 elders. What's so hard to understand about 24? Was it so hard to understand 24 that they had to take it out? Well, that's what they did. They took the whole number out. What if you got in your next bank statement and it didn't have any numbers on it? You have a heart attack. What happened to all my money? Where is it? Are numbers important? The people that stand up for the NIV say, well, what's the big deal? They just took out 24. Okay. It's not a big deal to you? Well, let me have your next bank statement. Let me just take all the numbers away and reduce your bank account to zero. No big deal, right? Numbers are not a big deal, right? Yes, they are. You know what the problem is? Your bank account is precious to you. How much more so should be the Word of God? If they took the number 24 out? That should be enough to infuriate us. You see, when you're used to the purity of God's word, when someone takes the blood out or the numbers out, you're not going to allow them to do that because it's pure. No more than you would allow them to take the numbers out of your bank account. You wouldn't allow someone to do that. So, and also they left out the part that says, and worship of him that liveth forever and ever. They left out the part, him that liveth forever and ever. All they had in there was that they fell down and worshiped. But worshiped who? The Bible says they worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Only God is to be worshiped. Hold your place here and turn to me back to chapter 22 again. Revelation 22. It's very important who we worship. And how are we going to know they were worshiping the right person? After all, even the Apostle John, whom God used to write the book of Revelation, made the mistake he was going to fall down and worship an angel, and he had to be corrected in chapter 22, in verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to what? To worship. We're in Revelation 22, 8. I fell down to worship before the feet of who? The angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou what? Do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship who? God. The angel said, hey, I'm just a servant like you are. I'm a servant to the living God. You can't fall down and worship me. You worship God and him alone. So back in Revelation chapter 5 here, in verse 14, Revelation 5:14, and the four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped. Well, the NIV left off who they worshiped, him that liveth forever and ever. But that statement qualifies it as the living God, because no one has lived forever and ever. No one has lived from eternity past and will always live. That's only true of God. So, and yet many try to defend the translators of the NIV. Let's go, please, to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. You know, I guess what throws people off is that when people seem religious, it's just hard to imagine they're not really. I mean, remember when Jesus said to the 12, one of you shall betray me. Did you notice how not one of them said, hey, I think it's Judas. What do you think? Yeah. I think it's Judas too. What do you think? I think it's Judas. They all said, Lord, is it what? I. Is it I? Is it I? Judas did a masterful job at faking everyone out. None of the disciples knew. They didn't have a clue. For we're told 3.5 years they walked together. None of them had a clue. They all just, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of who? False prophets. Matthew 7, 15. Which come to you in what? Sheep's clothing. You know, little children like to dress up. Maybe like cowboys or something. Like to dress up. Well, you know what? Hypocrites don't normally wear a red suit with horns and walk around with a pitchfork. Religious hypocrites walk around in sheep's clothing. Suit. Tie. In fact, some of them that come to your door may even have a sheep's badge. Elder so-and-so. That's what the Mormons wear. Boy, they look awful young to be elders, but it says elder so-and-so, that's a sheep's badge on a wolf. That's what it is. That's what they do. I mean, have you ever seen a Jehovah's Witness at your door in a black costume with a black pointed hat? Never seen one like that? No? I've never seen a Jehovah's Witness come to our door, a man with long hippie-type hair. Never. I've never seen a Jehovah's Witness come to our door with rings in her nose and eyebrows and cheek and all over. They don't come like that, do they? They come in sheep's clothing. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? Ravening wolves. We had a dog pointed out something to us yesterday that, or maybe it was the day before, that we didn't know. My wife got out the binoculars and there was a dog across the road. He was eating on something. We never knew it, but there was a carcass of a deer across the road. We never knew it was there. Must have been in the weeds last summer, and I don't know. The dog found it this winter. Now, chewing on it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Well, how can a professing Christian say the translators of the NIV were good men when they took away from God's word? They took out the blood. That should be as more precious to us than a finger, because the Bible says it'd be better to lose a hand than go to hellfire. It'd be better to lose an eye than to be cast into hellfire. It'd be better to lose a foot than to be cast into hellfire. The Bible says if any man takes away from the word of God, that their part is going to be taken out of the book of life. In other words, they're not saved. They are not going to heaven. They were pretenders. They were hypocrites. They were betrayers. So I would say that's pretty bad fruit. Pretty bad fruit. So this man was upset anyway about the HIV-NIV tract. The HIV-NIV tract, we printed that tract, and I don't know if it was the next week or the week after, a family in our church left. They were so upset. So upset that I would liken the HIV virus to the NIV. They left. But you know what? If we, and the reason is, it's not because they used the NIV. They did not. They used the King James Bible. But I think in this case, they had family that did use the NIV, and they just, and I am not saying that everyone that uses the NIV is lost. Please do not think I'm saying that. What I'm saying is the translators, the ones who corrupted God's word. I'm saying that God says anyone who would take away from his word is not saved. They're not going to heaven. I'm saying the translators. And what I'm saying is we need to enlighten people just how important it is. If someone says to you, well, they only took the blood out there in that one verse, just ask them if they'd be willing to lose a finger. You've got nine more. Just ask them. Somehow we need to show them how precious the word of God is. In the book of Revelation, they took out the 24 elders. They took out to whom we should worship, the one who lives forever and ever. Just say that to them. Numbers are not important. They took out the numbers in that verse. That's not important. May I take all the numbers out of your bank account? No. Isn't the Bible more precious to you than money? So the whole crux of the matter is how precious is the Bible to us. So those who are using it, we just need to enlighten them. And this man said that I'd called all these translations a disease. No, if you read the HIV-NIV tract, it likens the NIV to HIV. HIV is not what kills people. HIV, the problem with it is it alters the T cells. And it makes the body's, it disrupts the immune system of the body. And then the body cannot recognize the harmful things. And then those other things come in. So the HIV destroys the immune system. You can read about it in the tract there. And that is exactly what these modern Bible translations have done. They have altered the T cell. They have convinced people that there's no such thing as absolute truth anymore. Everything becomes relative. You know, they call it the relative humidity. It varies. Well, truth doesn't vary. It's the same. Either truth is truth or it's false. It has to be one or the other. So that is what the NIV and all these other translations have done to churches. What it has done is it has caused those churches not to judge sin anymore. And what you'll find then is the wrong type of music comes in, and no one can stand up against it because they've forsaken this. If this is not the ultimate standard, then you can't stop the music, you can't stop the liquor, because people are going to come along and say, well, didn't Jesus make alcoholic wine? Well, if you can't go back to the authority of God's word and say, no, he did not, because this is what it says. So the music comes in, the alcohol comes in, the dancing comes in. So where did it all start? When they forsook the pure word of God. We've got to get back to that point. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to be in your word every day. Help us, Lord, that your word would be that pure and precious to us. That when there's any change, when someone would dare take part of it out, help us, Lord, to immediately recognize that's bad fruit, that's danger. That's a red flag. And so, Lord, help us not to defend the translators of the NIV. They clearly took away from your word, and you clearly say, if anyone dares to do that, they're not going to heaven. They're going to be cast in the lake of fire. And then, Lord, our hearts go out to the multitude of our Christian friends that have become involved and have been told that the NIV is just easier to understand. And so now, sometimes they even defend the translation. Many times they defend the translation. Lord, please open their eyes. Please may the word be so precious to them. Have your way in each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.